Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, help us to understand this Bible reading, to take it to heart, and to put it into action in our lives for your name's sake. Amen. Please sit down. We're following through Mark chapter 9, and we've reached the last few verses. And it would be helpful to turn in your Bible to Mark 9, verse 42 and following. Now, if I said, I'm over the moon, it wouldn't be true in the sense that I'm not an astronaut and not in any danger of becoming one. But if I used that turn of phrase, it would say, better than lots and lots of words, that I was feeling absolutely brilliant. It's an example of metaphoric hyperbole, an exaggeration using a metaphor in order to make a strong point. Now, Jesus uses this type of hyperbole, especially in today's passage, because he is making strong points. These things really matter. And it's a good reading to do as we start Lent, because what he's saying is, sins really matter, and turning from them really matters. So the two strong points that he's making in this passage. Strong point number one is in verse 42. Let's have a look at it. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. Now, please don't get Jesus wrong. He is not advocating mafia-style killings. Not at all. He is not encouraging any one of us to do the concrete necklace thing. He's not suggesting that someone should inflict such a punishment on someone else. No. But it is hyperbole to make a strong point. And the point? Who is it that will come to a sticky end? Well, anyone who puts a stumbling block in the way of the little ones who believe in Jesus. Now, let's unpack that a little in the light of last week's passage. In verse 36, Jesus said that Christian believers should have the attitude of little children. So the little ones who believe in me, now in our passage, verse 42, refers to all Christians, all humble, faithful Christians. And in verse 42, who is Jesus talking to? He's still speaking to his disciples. This is a message to Christians to warn us in strong terms, do not cause other Christians to stumble. That is, do not inhibit or injure or destroy the faith of simple, ordinary Christians, true Christians. Now, I guess we might be in danger of doing this in different ways. For example, by giving fellow Christians a bad example, which they copy. We sin, and by our example, it leads them to sin too. Jesus is warning us. Or maybe telling a wrong message to a fellow Christian, which they accept, along the lines of, oh, you know, that's not a sin, or that's not too bad, we might say. And so, by our encouragement, they fall into sin. Do not cause other Christians to stumble and fall, says Jesus, strongly, because it matters. It matters so much because it will cause us a sticky ending. So don't let's be tripping up other Christians. You know how some Christians love to confuse people by making things complicated for no good reason, maybe to show off. or because we like to think we're superior or sophisticated or something. But if it puts people off, trips them up, causes them to sin, it's so off-putting. It's not clever. It's destructive. It's not a game. It's an action with dire consequences as far as Jesus is concerned. We aren't the one to bring the dire consequences, but Jesus will on the last day. That's why he's warning us in no uncertain terms. Strong point number one, don't cause fellow Christians to stumble and fall away. Don't cause fellow Christians to fall into sinful actions. If we do, the outcome will be bad for us too. So if that's strong point number one, strong point number two, from verse 43 onwards, don't cause yourself to stumble into sin. Can you see verse 43? If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. Now, before we look at the hyperbole here, one or two clarifications. For one, Jesus does believe in hell as well as heaven. Now, our society may avoid or mock the idea of hell, but Jesus certainly takes it seriously. Hell is the wrong place to end up at the end of our lives. If we're looking for an illustration, then verse 48, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched, it's a description of the city rubbish dump, where fires always burn and smoulder continuously, and where the worms have a field day. It's a place where what is not wanted is thrown away. Now, because I've talked about metaphoric hyperbole, some might try to say that Jesus' mention of hell is metaphor and hyperbole. But it's not. Jesus talks about hell a lot in his parables as well as in his discourse. And the whole passage loses its main point unless we recognize Jesus' consistent teaching on heaven and hell as real places. Jesus does believe in hell as well as heaven. And another detail before we crash on. Some of you may have noticed there are two verses missing. Had you? There isn't a verse 44 and there isn't a verse 46, which may be disconcerting for some of us, but it's not so worrying. The explanation is there in our notes at the bottom of the page. Certainly the church Bibles have some notes which give us the explanation, and actually shows how rigorous the translators have been. Can you see, it says under note U, that verses 44 and 36 were identical with verse 48, but are lacking in the best ancient authorities. So, when the verses of the Bible were numbered in the Middle Ages, these verses were in. But in more recent times, older original texts have been discovered which don't have the repetition of that phrase. So the verses are omitted. They're not part of the original text, and it is only the original text which is the authoritative word of God. Now, it's no big deal because the verse is still there in verse 48. But this explains why there's no 44 and 46. After that technical side line, let's go back to the main message. And let's grasp the meaning of these messages, of these verses. If your hand causes you to sin, how are you going to stop that sin? If your hands are causing violence or distress or trouble because of your sin, cut it out, says Jesus. And Jesus is not advocating amputation. This is metaphoric hyperbole to make a strong point that you need to do something to cut it out, to stop the sin. It is that important. Whatever is needed to stop you doing it, cut it out. Because it is the difference between going to heaven and going to hell. Those who go to heaven are the simple, straightforward believers in Jesus who, when they sin, acknowledge it, turn from it, and cut it out, and so receive forgiveness. And Jesus is saying, we need to be responsible. Can't blame everyone else. It's up to us. Yes, others can help or hinder us, but ultimately it's up to us. We can't just rely on others. It's up to us. Cut it out for yourself. And if our feet take us to a place where we are in danger of stumbling, falling into sin, and falling away from the path of repentance and belief which leads to life with God forever, if our feet take us to such a place, how can we stop? Well, we've got to cut it out. That's what we must do. Don't go there. And if our sin is caused by what we're looking at, if our eyes are looking in envy or in lust or down our noses, what must we do? Jesus is not advocating chopping off body parts. That's not a Christian thing to do. That's hyperbole. To make a strong point that we must cut out sin in our lives. We must stop the doing of sinful actions. We must stop walking to the places where we're falling into sin or using our eyes in ways which cause us to sin. Because it matters if we want to be saved on the last day. That's the strong point number two. Now, verses 49 and 50 are a little perplexing, and I offer a brief final word of explanation. People often reflect on these two verses and say things about the qualities of salt and fire, and I think all of that is true. But it still doesn't help us see how these verses hang together. Now, I understand that these verses hang together when we understand that salt and fire were essential ingredients in Jewish sacrifices. Sacrifices in Jesus' time. So briefly and simply, Jesus is saying, count the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ and cut out the sinful actions, and this will be a lot like the sacrifices in the temple. Costly self-sacrifice is needed. And as the temple sacrifices were salted and burned fully, so you are to sacrifice your sinful, indulgent selves. You are to be salted with fire. You are to be properly salted. That is, sacrifice your sinful desires, burn them up, and banish the rottenness completely, like the temple sacrifices, so that you do not stumble and fall. And a final point, be at peace with one another. Remember to stay friends with people as you do this. Keep yourself from sin and be at peace with others. Be at peace with others and keep yourself from stumbling. A summary? Stumbling into sin is the most important thing to give up for Lent. Let's pray. Your word, Lord, is like a two-edged sword which cuts right into us. Please, Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves and faithful and open to your Spirit. Amen.